Almost there. So, there we are. Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. Here on the second episode of our Writer Wednesdays, our Writer's Chat Wednesdays, where we focus on writer stuff. Because, you know, a lot of RPG guys, like with Ryan Danks and Walter Belliard, hey, guys, are making the leap in, you know, baby steps or in big bounds into fiction writing, because it's a cool field and interesting stuff there. So welcome back, guys. And joining us as well for the very first time on this particular series, but not for the first time ever, is J.R. Hanley, who is a military science fiction author. And I'll throw up his Amazon page so you know I'm not lying. And whoa, that is zoomed in so fast, so far. There we go.
That was impressive.
Yeah, I know. It's my technical acumen is awesome. So...
And you can see my original covers where everyone used the same Space Marine, and then when they changed theirs, I didn't, so it's now retro.
That's a problem when there's a small art pool and everyone's pulling from it.
Yeah, and you didn't have as many, back in the day, as many freelance artists that could do like a cover, or at least not all of them doing it well, so it's kind of cool to see where that has gone.
Yeah, I know in RPGs... there have been certain spikes. Like I remember when Pathfinder first came out, there were like 8 different publishers who were rushing to put out a new Pathfinder book, third party published. And they were all wanted to use the same new stock art before anyone else used it. So we wound up getting like 8 books out in a month that all looked very similar. It was kind of tricky. So let's talk about writing first drafts. Ryan, over here on RyanMDanks.com. Check it out. All the cool kids are. You are cool. How to write a finished first draft. And I thought this was an interesting article and maybe like a good premise for our show in general. So can you, maybe our viewers who haven't read this, can you kind of take through the process you lay out in this, Ryan?
Sure. So I took it from Dean Wesley Smith, and he uses what's called the cycling method. And that method is based on the concept of that creators benefit more from frequency, that the faster and more often you put out work, the more you can get paid. If you put out 10 books a year, you'll make more money than if you put out 5 books a year. It's very basic. He got it from the Pulp Fiction back in the day, all the Pulp Fiction authors, where we get Doc Savage and Zorro and Shadow and all those guys. They followed what became Heinlein's rules, one of which is never rewrite a word unless editorial demands it, because they got paid per word and they didn't get paid to write a word twice. So the cycling method goes with that to some degree. And what the concept is you only get one first draft, one draft. That's all. You don't get a second draft. The book is one draft. You start in his method. There's a lot of different ways. I don't particularly do it this way, but the way he sells it is, you start with a character in a setting, and then you get that character as deep into the setting as you can with emotional cues using senses. So use the 5 senses through the lens of the character, get as deep into that character's emotional content as you can, and then never let that go. It's like dragging them underneath a lake and not letting them come up for air until the end of the book. And so then what you do to make it the finished first draft is a process he calls cycling. And what he does is you write 500,000 words, whatever you do, until you get to the point where you just can't get any further. Like you get to a point where you feel like, okay, cool, I can move on, but I'm going to go back from where I began, read up until there, and edit as I go, add information, whatever that's the case. And then when I get to a white space, continue on, go back again even further, write up and continue on, and just keep doing that, and then taking yourself out of the timeline. Readers read from word 1 to word 70,000 or whatever. But a writer can say, a guy having his phone right now is really messing me up. I want him to lose or break his phone. Let me go back 3 chapters and make him forget his phone at home or break it. And then read up to where I'm at and maybe add some things here and there about where he's pissed off about losing his phone, and then get going. And it makes you look super smart, because every writer looks smart to a reader. It's a process that if you tell yourself you're not allowed to have a second draft, then as you write and you go back, you're constantly going back and correcting things and fixing things and adding things that you think about. And then when you get to the end of the first draft, you're done. You publish the book, you move on to the next book. And that's the concept that, that Dean Wesley Smith plays it out. He does it all over his website. And as J.R.R. Hanley said in the chat, he also does it in Writing Into the Dark.
So you're actually combining the two versions. So the Writing Into the Dark is his way of writing without outlining, which is what you described in the beginning. And then he also does the one draft method. Him and his wife, Chris and Catherine Rush, their websites are great resources. So you can do both together, but even if you outline, you can still do the one draft method because you're still, you're cycling in the editing is what you're doing instead of doing it all at the end where you might read something and not realize, you know, the significance of it because you've forgotten parts. Whereas if you do it as you go, you end up, oh, I know what this is because it has to be here. So let me massage it a little bit.
Yeah. And that's exactly how I use it. I don't start from scratch. I have an outline and an in-depth process, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, and I can get, we can get you the websites for when you share this, Mike, for the Dean Wesley Smith and Kristen Catherine Rush's stuff.
Okay. Well, you know, we're live right now on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch because we're cool.
Oh, my gosh, we're on Twitch? My first Twitch.
We're on Twitch because we're cool.
Second Twitch, I guess, right? Because last week? Is my second Twitch then because last week?
This is our second. We were doing Twitch for a while, and then I realized that I'm not really getting an audience on Twitch, but I was like, ah, oh, fuck it, I'll try again. Even though I'm not a hot girl playing video games, there's still a way, right?
So you're hot to us.
Very cool.
Hey, Mike, show us some cleavage. Very nice placement of the microphone.
Facebook just checked out explicit.
I do have the explicit tag. All right, so we got
Chris have... KRISWrites.com is the Chris and Catherine Rush, and then Dean DEAN Wesley WESLEY Smith.com is the two websites.
Okay, let me pull those
there.
Up
we go.
And so for pimping his website, he has an article that we don't have to go over right now, but it's Pulp Speed. Mm-hmm. And it's just, if you're a self-publishing author who wants to have frequency and just create, it is brilliant. I recommend everyone read it at least once, even if you don't agree. It's a really cool idea.
Okay, cool. I could search and write faster. I've been chewing on the same three stories for over 6 months now. So
it's just a quick article. It'll take you 10 minutes to read it. It's okay. The concept is how to get to one, like Pulp Speed 1 is 1 million words a year. Pulp Speed 2 is 2 million words a year. It's that kind of thing.
You guys ever get into a story and you were infatuated with the idea and thought it was cool and you write a couple thousand words in, you're like, this sucks, I'm terrible, I'm not funny, no one's going to read this except like maybe close family members, why am I doing this? And you just never get back to it. Do you guys hit that wall like that?
That's almost every story.
Okay. All right. How do you get past that? I mean, because sometimes I force myself past it and sometimes I'll rewrite completely. And
well,
I don't know.
The one of the things that a great a good friend of mine who is also a writer, I'm not going to name drop him because I told him I would never do that. He had a really great piece of advice, and he's also a soldier. When I asked pretty much the same question, he was like, all right, so please take this with a grain of salt because, you know, this is very technical stuff you're about to have. And it might not work for everybody, but it really, I think, would benefit you in your case. Stop being a bitch.
That was me, right?
No.
No, I know.
So I was like, whoa, what do you mean? He's like, look, the reason that you're not engaging with the story is because you have writer's ADD. You saw something else that took your attention, and now you're having a squirrel moment. And because you're not focused on the story, you're not making, it's not getting your full creative juices. So instead of getting a amazing steak cooked medium rare with all the fixings, you're getting a hockey puck because you cooked it too long because you were looking on your phone when you should have been looking at the stove. So one of the things that you can do to kind of help that along is as part of what Ryan was saying, you know, go back to certain parts, go back to the parts where you did find something interesting and kind of check it out and find something in there that you might not have noticed you even wrote before. I'm a big proponent of listening to your work on audio, just because of the fact that you will catch little cues on audio when the phone or whatever you're using, your PC or whatever, reads it back to you that you're not going to catch by reading it. Because it, when you read it just on text, first of all, I feel like a geek that is not going to get anything done because, you know, for the first time in X number of years, I have to wear these giant reading glasses and like keep them at the bridge of my nose, you know. Well, I don't get cool glasses like you where they get to sit and, you know, look cool. They have to sit at the bridge of my nose so if I have to look up and chase the dog, you know.
Old man glasses?
Oh, yeah.
He's got the birth control glasses that the VA gave him, right?
Yep, BCGs, right? But, I mean, find that part of the story that you still found interesting. And go with that because it could be that you just you went somewhere with the story because you were chasing some idea or some tidbit that you'd already put in, and you brought in a direction that didn't interest you. You know, if you keep interest with your story, I know I in one of my first books that are going to be coming out, I put in a comic relief character. And, you know, in the beginning, this character is very serious and focused and murderous, you know. And then you find out he's the comic relief. But, you know, in the middle of all this mayhem, there's always an unintended joke because he doesn't get the culture, you know. And it's a way to constantly reengage with the story because I like being in the infantry, there's always that guy. You know, you use a little too much explosive to breach a door, or you get the shotgun at the wrong angle to take the hinges off a door, right? And he's right behind you going, whoa, man, set that alarm clock too loud, right? You know, he's always that one guy who's got that comment that just kind of relieves some of the tension, but might key you into the seriousness. It's not like we're getting shot at or anything. It's fine. I'm sure we'll be okay. You know, that kind of deal. So find that piece that really engaged you in the first place. You know, like Mike, you have a product that has long been in and out of the gaming community, and you had mentioned we'll probably be seeing again Kaiser's Gate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean the you know, the fire and the kind of seriousness of World War One interspersed with dimensional hopping beings that from, you know, mythology. You know, there's a lot to be afraid of. So injecting that little beat of kind of relief for the reader, giving them a breath before you throw the next thing, might be the thing to reengage you. And if it doesn't sound funny to you, find a beta reader. You know, find somebody who will look at your stuff and say, hey, man, take a look at this. Let me know what you think. You know, and it doesn't have to be, listen, I put my 70,000 word document online. I would like you to comb it for every bit of comic genius you can find. You know, it doesn't have to be that. It can be like, hey, man, because like JR is in the middle of writing something now. And we make sure that he and all the fans who are waiting for book two constantly nag him because we want that book two, because book one was like hit you in all the right feels. Right. So, you know, and he's shooting chapters at me like, hey, man, let me know what you think of this, you know, and it's this works, this doesn't, this was fun, this might need a little, you know, and then you send it back. And if I send him a chapter, you know, he tells me, I only really listen to books. You got something audio? I'm kidding.
So you mentioned
I named this process Tears of Blood or How I Learned to Take It Like a Man.
So, well, you mentioned before you like to listen to your drafts. Do you have a text reader you use on your devices, or how do you do that? Go ahead.
Oh no! If you got an iProduct, which I don't, mm-hmm. and I won't, because no. If you got an iProduct, Speechify. Mm-hmm. I think it's
a little pricey, though.
Yeah. What is it? It's $10, $20.
No, they do it. They went to a yearly subscription, and it got a little steep. I'm actually next month buying an Android tablet just so I can use the program you use, so I could actually do the audio, because the Speechify was just too pricey. And then there are other options out there, and I've tried all of them and ended up talking to the Apple people to get refunds because they all sucked.
Yeah. There's a couple of different ones on Android that are really good. The one I use is @ mm-hmm. voice. You can either set it for the Google Voice in your phone. I set it on as robotic a voice as I can get. just so that I'm not caught away with, wow, that sounded very human, you know, and get distracted. Because the Google voices are really good, and they have pay-to-play models that you can insert. And they're really good. I mean, at some point, you're forgetting, like, oh, crap, this is a machine. This is actually really good.
Is there something that works on Chromebooks?
Yeah, @Voice will do it. Yep, okay. you can upload it right to @Voice. Just go to the Play Store and then, you know, click. There's Eevee, Eevee. That one is really good because it hits you with Google Voice with a selection. But like I said, I like reading it back just because of the fact that I catch a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have caught otherwise. You know, because when you're listening to it, you have that syntax of speech that you're not getting when you're reading. When you're reading, you're like, you know, you're looking at it on your Kindle or your phone or however it is you're trying to, you know, gauge your draft, and you're like, this is the most amazing thing ever. I am a genius. And then you listen to it and it's like, crap, I used the to start a sentence like 5 times. You know, I used in the same paragraph, or I used, you know, I used this manner of speaking, or I'm beta reading a book now, and there's the guy that I'm beta reading has really likes this particular word as a non-specific kind of like naming of a person, and it comes up like multiple times in a sentence and multiple times in a paragraph, and while reading it, he was probably like, yeah, this is cool, you know, but when you listen to it, it's like this word showing up again and again and again and again. It sounds like a nervous tick, you know, that he probably doesn't have that affectation when he's speaking. It's probably only when he's writing.
Oh,
and that actually brings up a good point is the market has shifted recently. So you're seeing a lot more traffic through audiobooks as people have said, you know, I really don't have a lot of time to read. So I stopped reading. Holy crap. Somebody will read it to me while I'm driving. And so audiobooks are where the money's at right now for most people. And so the audio listen editing process lets you catch things that, I mean, because when you know it's going to be read to you, it changes how you write. I think a little bit. You don't care as much about word echoes when you're just reading it because your brain will automatically gloss over as a reader. But if someone's reading it to you, some of that stuff that was just fine normally now sounds a little weird or stilted. And so having a process where it's read to you lets you factor that in without really having to do anything else.
It also pulls out a little a bit of alliteration at the same time. Like if you have a habit of doing that, you know, starting several words with the same letter all in a string. If you have the book read it back to you, you'll catch that very quickly. Whereas a narrator will be like, look, don't be a dick. You know, I didn't need malicious murderous mayhem 3 times in a paragraph, you know? So, yeah, it'll help you catch that. And it's a great way to kind of focus your writing so that you can, you know, so that you can catch those little quips and syntax. Like I know myself, and I've said it multiple times, I have never met a conjunction I didn't like, right. Because of, the way, I learned to speak English, it kind of helps me bridge ideas so that I'm not saying all the time. So see, there it is. I'm like, no conjunction. But there's it ends up in my writing. So, you know, I have something like Pro Writing Aid and I have it set to filter out multiple conjunctions in a row. So, you know, stuff like that combined with the audio will help.
Hey Ryan, you were starting to say something a minute ago.
When you pulled up the image there, you can put the @Voice on a Google Chrome extension.
Should be. Yep. You should just be able to find the extension.
Because my R button stopped working on my Apple, and because the butterfly keys are stupid, and. When your name is Ryan, you write more often than you think. But I'm making a switch to a Chromebook and having to learn new software.
So what you can do is, you know, just in audio, just chase that that Portuguese audience because R is done like an H.
And there you go.
Yes, I'm high end.
But because you because you know it's going to be on audio, it definitely factors in some of the people that will write fantasy where I feel like they just take, they get a bowl of alphabet soup or the alphabet cereal and they spoon it up and they're like, okay, let's just throw all that with an apostrophe between every letter. And you realize how much of a cluster that is when someone's trying to read it to you. And, you know, and then if you start working with the same narrator and you try to slip something in just to make them have to say it, you end up getting a lot of
angry mails. The reason you're doing that is you have your green screen on.
I just realized that.
That's kind of cool, though.
It does look kind of cool. Hey, Josh Hayes, Pirate R. Hey, Josh Hayes. Thanks for watching.
Hey, man. Feel better, bro.
I have some friends that are from Sri Lanka, and I tried to put their name in a book, and the editor was like, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. And then they took it out.
I love his name, by the way, if you're talking about the individual, I'm thinking.
It is.
Yudhoyo Wiradjuri.
His friend Navin, I can't even pronounce his last name, who does the has a business painting RPG models.
Yeah,
He's a great guy too. But I wrote his, and they just called him Navin. They took out his whole last name. I'm like, poor guy.
Really? Come on.
He's in the reservist, so.
Yeah, nice.
but they're like, I'm not doing this to your poor editor. Take out it.
I work with a bunch of Indian guys because I'm in IT, and so many of them adopt English names kind of almost just haphazardly. There was one guy I worked with, it was George Thomas, and I'm like, you can just tell me your name. I'll try to pronounce it. No one's actually called George Thomas. No, my name is George Thomas. Okay. And then he had a kid. I was like, oh, well, congratulations. What's your kid's name? His name is also George Thomas. No, it's not. I'll make a good faith effort to try.
Yeah, George Foreman named all of his kids George Foreman.
It's easy to remember. So, yeah, I was working on that story Walt and I have been talking about for a year, where I've got this idea about there's a like a portal story like you were talking about, JR, where except this is the stuff from the portal, like in Kaiser's Gates, coming into our world. And I was going to have a bunch of grunts out detailed, you know, somewhere dealing with, you know, an incursion zone. And they have either a dwarf or an elf with them who's trying to tell them what's happening. And they're like, you know, that sounds like lore to me. I don't give a shit about lore. I don't want to know about the high necromancer from this crescent moon of Zani. No, just tell me where to shoot.
Yep, that sounds about right.
And then I realized I really hate fantasy. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm second guessing myself too much. But
I think so, because, I mean, your story has merit. I mean, and it's something I would definitely like to read. So, I mean, the only thing stopping you is you, bro, you know, you hear workshop after workshop. There's a big convention that goes on in Las Vegas every year, 20 books to 50K. And they have these great seminars, lots of people, you know, just dumping wisdom onto potential writers. And, the thing you hear all the time is turn off your distractions, sit down and write. It doesn't have to be, you know, 3,000 words a day. Write 100 words and then walk away from it if that's, you know, whatever. You know, I was listening to a guy on Keystroke Medium, and he said he's written 6 novels on his phone.
Holy garbage.
Right? Yeah, and he does it. What he does is he does it when he's got the time. You know, he gets in the elevator to go up 3 floors for a doctor's appointment with his 3 kids. And, you know, he's thumbing on his phone. He's waiting there, in the waiting room. He's thumbing on his phone. You know, he's waiting for the doctor to come in. He's thumbing on his phone. So if you count all those little spaces where you have to wait for something to occur, a bus, an Uber ride, you're sitting waiting for your meal to show up in a restaurant because you're on lunch break. All these little moments that you have that you could be filling with other time if you just had something with you to type on, yeah. You know.
Every one of my articles is written on my phone.
Yeah.
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 Well, when I wrote Kaiser's Gate 10 years ago.
Get with it.
I wrote it a long email thread to myself, because sometimes just the idea of writing a whole page would just kind of get into my head. So like an email, like 3 sentences, what happens next? Or what's this? It's an RPG. So it's a long history and then some scenarios and then, you know, the various other details in there. But yeah, just, you know, individual emails, 3 sentences long. And then you just, you know, kind of find the momentum that way. And Josh is saying, I want to write an epic fantasy and the MC is a knight named Bob.
That's fantastic.
I like it.
Hell,
did you
yeah.
know if you spell his name backwards, it's also Bob?
It's a palindrome.
Don't screw with me like that. I haven't had nearly enough coffee for you to mess with me. But yeah, I mean, and you know, the thing about epic fantasy that scares everybody is the scope. You know, start small. I mean, look at something like Lady Hawk. You know, from like way oh, back.
Great movie.
You know, what a great idea.
Yeah,
you know, it's just. I mean, if you boil that story down into one sentence, a thief helps a knight and his lady love break a curse that keeps them apart. That's it. But it's an epic fantasy with all this crazy magic and curses and knights fighting each other. I mean, you know, just start small and work out.
The stakes are very small, but they're personal. So they matter to the characters, but
yeah.
No one's trying to take over the universe or the world or the kingdom. Well, I guess right. There is one guy taking over the kingdom, but it's small. I don't know. It's there's so much world building built into fantasy, and
But it doesn't have to be as deliberate. You can just hint at a larger world, and then flush it out as you go.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's the same. You could say the same thing about military sci-fi. Like I did that when I first started. When I wrote a TONE, so I knew who was in the unit. Like I named every slot like on the chart. I spent so many hours like tracking careers of people that never made. Like, no, that's stupid. Don't do it. Like have it. Okay, I know that there's generically speaking, there's this in this general area, this over here, and then flush it out as you get there, and only have to hint at what's there, because the reader will fill in some of it themselves. And if you make it sound like there's more, and we're just showing this narrow focus, that's enough for most people.
And as RPG writers, we have a tendency to world build first because you never know where the player characters are going to go. So you give them this big sandbox that they can play in where everything's already ready. You got your Tonka trucks over here. You got shovels and pails over here. Mom puts snacks on the slide so that it won't get all sandy. And then, you know, the kid runs by it and kicks sand on it anyway. You know, and you got all these intricacies with like epic timelines. Look at Forgotten Realms. Forgotten Realms started off as like it was a 80-page booklet where there was very little detail at all. It was just mentions of everything. Now it's like the books are doorstops because there's so much world building that people did, because it's like, oh, you might want to go to this tavern and this is how much a flagon of beer cost as you're dodging the assassin with the red cape. It's like, what?
Yeah,
that's
that old adage about how you eat an elephant one bite at a time. Like that didn't happen overnight. It's something that you built on as you needed it, and that's the danger. If you do all the world building first, and then the story needs something else, you end up with documents that are conflicting each other. It's like, well, and then you end up having to research your own product because you don't remember which one is true. So the less that you do that you put in stone in the beginning, the less you have to track later. Like you add too much, you end up with like four different documents and you're not sure which one is the right one because, you know, you changed it so many times.
Unless you're like our friend Josh Hayes, who uses Scrivener.
Scrivener is the devil. We're not going
He uses it.
I'm going to miss Scrivener when I switch to a Chromebook.
Yeah.
It's all about the Word document, Times New Roman or bust. As it was intended, so shall it be.
Get off my lawn.
So for people who might not know, Scrivener, it's basically a word processor, but it's got outlining tools built into it, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's like Word on crack, basically.
The research elements for it is amazing. I've built like whole research novels of characters and settings. I built Jade Punk in it. And it's just so, it's awesome for that. Writing in it's cool too, but I just love it for building stuff of research stuff.
I got to tell you, man, Jade Punk, that is, I love Jade Punk.
Thank you.
Just because
talking about setting building with Just Enough, we started that with the concept of there's a Hong Kong style city that is East meets West. We came up with Magic Jade is the reason everyone went there to go mine that. And that was it. And then the only reason there's fiction at the beginning of every chapter is because that's how I had to see the world in my head. And I wrote those little fictions and I was like, okay, I want some kind of characters that do this. And I want an evil empire that does that. And then I would like talk to Jake about it. And he'd be like, yeah, that sounds cool. That's not punk enough. He knew about punk. I knew didn't. So he kept me in that. But I mean, that's how we built it was. And then, so we only did what was relevant to the kinds of characters that we would create for the game. And then everything else is white space. And actually, the number one thing I get on that setting from people is how much they enjoy the white space. They feel like they can go in that game and just play, and they're not going to break anything, which is cool, I guess. I never considered it for fiction until recently, but back when they started telling me that, I was like, wow, okay, create some stuff with white space and let people's imaginations run wild.
Hell yeah.
Now, have you ever thought about doing fiction sent in Jadepunk as you're making the leap from RPG writing to book writing?
I am. I haven't talked to Jake about it yet. I owe him a percentage of anything I do on with Jadepunk, which is totally cool, and I don't even need him to work on it. I'm grateful for what he helped me with. But I just haven't. I have some ideas. Oh, one idea cool. I have is a Fistful of Jade is the title. I've had it for years.
Oh yes.
And I want it to be a Rob the Train style thing, but on a magic jade airship. And
shut up and take my money.
Right.
I want to do it, and I probably will, but
get writing. What are you waiting for? Get off the podcast. Right?
Every time I get caught up in that, I get caught up in the world. I need to back up and just say, you know what? I invented the world. So if I break it now, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
So I see one of the names on your book is Mike Olson. He's the guy from Atomic Robo, right?
Yes. So the system that he built for Atomic Robo for the powers. I asked him to come in here because he did before that. He did Kerberos Club, which was like a Victorian superhero in Fate, and I love the way he did superpowers. And I said, "Hey, come in." And he only worked on one chapter, and it was how to create the way that we do stunts for like Jade Tech and stuff. And I asked him, you know, hey, look, I want to be able to make this where it's kind of robust, you know, and do it. And he made that, and it was cool. And then he took you could tell the blueprint of it is what you see from in Atomic Robo for a lot of the, we call it features and flaws in Jadepunk, but in Atomic Robo, it was something else. But basically how something works as an aspect and how something can break as an aspect. And I was like, hey, you did that for us. which was cool. I didn't copyright him to anything.
Cool.
Yeah, art in J-Punk is just kung fu sexy.
Oh, I want to have Conrad back, the guy who does that. There's Conrad Javier, great artist, and I want to talk to him about some cover art for my books because I love how it's one or two colors and then the rest
is
white. I love that it just shows so much on the feature, the thing you want to feature.
That is pretty cool. Just to jump over to Josh Hayes real fast, I think he was trying to yank your chain a little bit here, JR. He says, Scrivener in Comic Sans.
That's okay. I'm going to jack his pain meds, and then he's going to be in trouble.
Well, hey, I have to go take my kid to a skateboarding lesson, and he's going to get home from school in about 2 minutes. So we're having a good conversation. I think we should stop while we're all having a good time. And you guys want to do this again next Wednesday?
Sure.
Yeah, sounds good.
Quick question, Walt. What is that behind you?
It's a nice piece of art of like asteroids floating in a mining setting on an asteroid.
Okay, cool.
Gorgeous, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the wife was very kind to me and got me a Jimundus green screen. So I've been playing with it a lot, and it's a lot of fun. Adds a little bit of flair to things if I need it. It came in handy on the D&D After Dark show I did a couple of weeks ago when it was D&D in the morning because of scheduling of a convention, and we were trying to get things together. It got weird for a second, but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It looks good too. It doesn't choppy like a lot of green screen stuff. What are you using?
Just the StreamYard right now.
Oh, wow.
StreamYard offers it. If you go to your cam mic settings, there's a green screen option. As long as you have a green screen, it's not choppy. If you don't have a green screen, it has to try and extrapolate from your background. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have all one color and conflicting light sources and all that stuff, it gets very messy.
That's why I was doing the cool stuff with my mug earlier.
Yes. Yep. And you can set the opacity. Like a little behind the scenes. So take 2 seconds, Mike. So if I change the opacity you can see the green screen.
No, it's not actually green. What the hell?
It is. It is. It's just the chroma key is filtering out the actual green so it can extrapolate my head from the background. Okay. But yeah, you just go like that. And if you go too high, I disappear.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
So yeah, it's right in StreamYard, and anybody can use it. It's not just I'm not using a special program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to get a screen at some point because I'll probably be working at home for the next 6 months until there's a vaccine. So.
Yeah, and this one collapses, mm-hmm. so it breaks down I can break it down or put it together in under 2 minutes. So and it fits right in the back of a closet that's in my office, and too easy.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, JR, appreciate you coming back and talking to us about this. Good to have you, sir.
Absolutely. It was fun.
Yeah. Ryan, thanks for indulging us and coming back on again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Walt, always a pleasure. And to our listeners and viewers, and Mr. Josh Hayes, who at least is our weekly, we have one viewer today. It's Josh Hayes.
Josh!
Time to Roman or bust.
Oh, God.
At least you didn't say courier. We'll catch you all next time on the Banff Podcast. And this is the awkward moment between we hit end broadcast and we're actually off the air. Wow, this is taking a while. We're still on the air, not off yet.
It's my green screen.
Oh, it's your green screen. Okay.
That makes sense. I don't know.
Hang on, I tap the screen on the side. Damn, we are still on the air.
Wow.
It's Twitch. they saw the hint of a nipple and they don't want to let us go.
Josh is getting all titillated.
Ah, look at you with the wordplay. Having trouble connecting. Please check your internet connection. You guys are talking to me.